Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore positively into the new year, positively into the point where my wife and I are like, 5 nights in a row, football, Thursday, Friday, college, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Steelers on Monday. You get to hate on the Steelers and watch the Texans come in there and drag them. Then we can talk about the ninth coach in the market next week. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. Luke and I are about to do a deep dive into where we are. And there's going to be a Steve Bisciotti press conference. I have inked a Dear Steve letter that thousands of people, it's not tens of thousands yet, but lots of you have read it, getting lots of feedback inside, outside. The usual use and abuse and pinata, and I know better. Yeah, you know better. Anyway, good questions there for everyone, but the big question obviously is who are they going to hire next? And Luke, I always talk process and what they're looking for. That's what I wrote in my letter, what David Modell was looking for, recruiting the community, the things that Billick was, the things Billick might not have been, right? And the things that Harbaugh we can clearly see was. And my challenge in the letter was, what's the next one going to be? Because if you're bringing Anthony Weaver in, that's like, I've known Anthony Weaver longer than I've known John Harbaugh, and still not as long as I've known his brother. And I don't know what personality they're looking for. I don't know if I mentioned I think they need a quarterback whisperer at this moment, at this juncture. No matter what, Lamar's the franchise. I think that's the football side of this. And then there's just the whole spill out of what's transpired here this week. First off, when Bisciotti fired Billick, he did this quick presser, a very teary-eyed. You weren't on the beat yet, right? But I was at that presser watching a very emotional Steve Bisciotti, and he said, I got later on, he said to me, or I maybe it was in my book, he said he got his equilibrium back. I don't know that you and I had our equilibrium on Tuesday or Wednesday in regard to this. I think it takes a little bit of really, wow, now they're gonna go hire a coach. And all of the years that we would say, don't fire Harbaugh, don't fire Harbaugh, he'll get a job in a minute. He will, and he shall, and he's going to get a raise, and he's going to get Steve off the hook for the money. But we always said, who are you going to get that's better than him? And they say the same thing in Pittsburgh. Well, here we go, man. Here we go.
Yeah, we're going to find out, right? And as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, I think when you look at the early stream of candidates, they're casting a pretty wide net, as they should. When you haven't hired a coach in 18 years, regardless of the reason, whether it's a firing, whether it's, hey, I'm leaving, I'm retiring, any number of reasons, you're dipping your toes into something that you're not terribly familiar with anymore. I mean, 18 years ago, think about it. On Thursday afternoon slash evening, the Ravens put out tweets that they had completed interviews with Vance Joseph, who's the Broncos defensive coordinator, and Davis Webb, who's the Broncos pass game coordinator. Think about January of 2008. The Ravens weren't even on Twitter. Twitter was in its infancy in terms of just that form of a medium. So it speaks to how much the world has changed in a matter of 18 years. So take your time, talk to as many people as you reasonably can. I mean, you don't want to have 150 candidates, but you also don't want to just have six either, because,
It's way different than Art Modell Williams. I like that guy. I like that guy. And let David bring that guy. I mean, literally, that's when I wrote Purple Rain One, which I alluded to in my Dear Steve letter. It was a couple of guys that sort of Art called around the league and said, who do you like? And that's the way this thing worked 30 years. Now it's black, white, defense, offense, special teams, bring them in, young, old, bring everybody in. So at least it looks like we've done the corporate thing down in HR that we've had everybody in because there is the appearance. Dude, they've been more transparent about this job search than anything they've been in 18 years. They're telling you who's coming in and out of the building. That they don't do that in free agency. They don't do that in college. I mean, I just noticed that in the last 36 hours. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. They're actually being transparent after the fact. And I don't know if these people are flying in. We have bye weeks. We have all sorts of, if you want to get a hold of Denver, Seattle, this is the week to do that. It's very complicated with agents, coaches, people landing in seats. I did a hit in Cleveland this week, and they're like, Stefanski's out there. I'm like, Schwartz is out there. There's just all of these coaches out there. You laughed at Jason Garrett, who Steve fell in love with. He had an interview with the Titans, seems like he wants to come back in and coach. So I'm not saying him. I'm saying this is a wide swath of failed coaches, perceived failed coaches, Brian Flores. It's the wild, wild west in a way on your beat this week. That's unlike any other. We need a franchise quarterback. Where are we going to find one? We need a head coach. I mean, bring 100 candidates in. There's 64 coordinators in the league, right?
So, I mean, you kind of look at it. First of all, to answer one of your questions, how does it work? Most of these individuals, especially ones that are still in the playoffs, the preliminary is a Zoom call, something like that. I mean, that's 2008. That wasn't something that was a thing, right? So you have that. Anyone who's out, like when you look at someone like Cliff Kingsbury, who is out in Washington anyway, their season's done. You can do that in person. But for me, you mentioned the equilibrium piece, whether it's people covering it, whether it's fans, whether it's the team itself, right? I mean, I don't think, I really don't think, and based on everything we've heard, based on other reporting out there, like this wasn't Steve seeing Tyler Loop miss the kick and then I'm firing John 2 days from now. These thoughts were in his mind about the possibility. The little bit that you and I entertained the possibility of Harbaugh being fired, I laid out the scenario where they're having tough talks because they've had a tough season and things haven't gone the way they've wanted to. And you've got the baggage of the last several years and January failures that it was pending how those talks go, whether you're talking about vision, coordinators, and Todd Monken, as clearly was a lightning rod here. So, but it's not something that came out of left field entirely either, right?
Well, the thing that we hit on was that Bisciotti watched the stadium empty out.
And that's part
And
of it.
Bisciotti reads the papers, so to speak, right? And I think there's a point for him. Dude, you and I said this 2 weeks ago because Lamar was hurt. Lamar wasn't playing in Green Bay. They were about to go down with the ship, right? They were going to lose in Green Bay and or Pittsburgh was going to win in Cleveland, right? So it was going to be over with that week. Preston's story comes out. Still, nobody's ever read the damn thing that I've ever met because they don't want to pay these people for the paywall. But that being said, Steve at that point would look at it the way you and I would look at it, which is, well, I better not come back here in April without the quarterback and with the coach, right? Like that was not something that in any way in your mind would be good for the Baltimore Ravens, favorable to the fan base, or check the boxes of we're actually going to win next year with Kirk Cousins as our quarterback, or the kid that played for Green Bay 2 weeks ago, Malik Willis. I mean, like somebody like that you're going to bring in this year's Justin Fields, this year, whatever you're going to do. And sell that as Lamar while Lamar goes and becomes the Colts quarterback or the Saints quarterback or the Steelers quarterback, because that's the way the league works, right? I mean, Harbaugh could be the coach of the Steelers next Tuesday if they decide to get rid of Tomlin because they lose 40-3 on Monday. I mean, who the hell knows? Tomlin may walk in on Tuesday after losing 43 and say, I want to go coach the Giants. I don't know. The Miami Dolphins guy. Because I wanted to say this to you, because all this transparency that I'm talking about, and I'm not even being facetious. I'm just like, they put out a bunch of tweets about the people they're interviewing, right? And my pal Anthony Weaver's been there this week, right? So the Miami Dolphins guy was flying Harbaugh's brother around on secret planes in this modern era and got outed for it, right? And now just decides, I'm just going to fire the coach because I think I'm getting Harbaugh, and everybody's onto it because of the whole Michigan thing. And like, he couldn't get the brother, whatever. John's wife might like the good weather down in Miami. If the John's never coached anywhere where he's had decent weather. I mean, I've looked at his resume. I'm like, man, waking up in Davie, that might not be. I mean, it put Jimmy Johnson to sleep and it put Nick Saban to sleep. But it, I don't know. You tell me. He's going to work somewhere for $25 million a year. I mean, he's going to try to set By the way, he's the hottest candidate there's ever been, right? Like, it's crazy, right? Like, he's the candidate we thought he would be, right?
I mean, I don't know if he's the hottest candidate that there's ever been, but he certainly, yeah, he's exactly what you thought it would be, right? The idea that, and I would always say this is never a reason to not fire someone, but the idea that you fire him and he's going to have a job in 5 minutes, right? I mean, he can take his time. It's no coincidence that his agents put out there that he is not doing any interviews, hasn't done any interviews this week, is waiting till next week. Why? Because of what happens in the wild card round and what that could mean for Pittsburgh potentially. I mean, Tomlin, the more and more reporting that's out there is not that Tomlin would be fired. It's more so that Tomlin apparently has a TV gig in his back pocket, an offer to do something like that, that maybe if, depending on how conversations would go in the aftermath of a loss to the Texans, where he would just say, I'm going to step away for a year and do TV and then resurface like Sean Payton did and wind up, how Payton wound up with the Broncos. So, but John's waiting that out. It's not to say that specifically that it's the Steelers' job, but whatever job, Buffalo, McDermott could be gone if Buffalo loses in the first round.
You know the
How's he
weirdest
any?
thing? Somebody put a Harbaugh helmet on the Bills, and I'm like, what?
Well, it would be kind of wild when you think about it through looking through the lens of Sean McDermott and their inability to break through. So the solution is to hire another veteran coach who hasn't been
Hey,
able to,
hey, hey,
that
don't
hasn't.
pull the Billick thing on me. Don't take John's Super Bowl ring away. They
No,
would be bringing a Super Bowl winning coach into
okay,
Buffalo. They would have
but
that,
someone who
and they
had
have a
done it
new
14.
stadium. Well, if they're
Sure.
looking to sell something fresh to PSL to the poor suckers in Western New York, I mean,
I mean,
I'm
they could
just
hire Mike
saying.
McCarthy if they wanted to then, right? I mean, like, sure, but it's clear that, yeah, John's in the driver's seat here, but I want to go back to something I was getting ready to say, and then we kind of just went
Dude, we're gonna be all
into a
over the
different,
place here for a
yeah.
week. It's
But
okay,
I
you know.
think, I mentioned you mentioned the equilibrium thing. So Bisciotti, Eric, Sashi Brown, the brass. Ozzie Newsome's going, I would assume, is going to be involved in this process to some degree. Not that Ozzie's going to be leading it, but he's the guy in the group who, along with Steve, who's done it, right? I mean, Eric was obviously around and part of that to some degree, but he wasn't the general manager at that point in time. So obviously, however your hierarchy goes in terms of influence, the owner, team president, general manager are going to be the biggest names in that in that search. But once the dust settles and you inform the rest of the staff, you inform the players on Tuesday, as I said to you at some point here over the last few days, I'm sure whether it was 2 years ago, last year, back in November and December, obviously I really feel the turning point that made this thing shift from John's not going anywhere to John could be going somewhere is what happened back to back Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at home back at Thanksgiving in early December. I mean, that was very, even for the Ravens with all the January failures, blown late leads, yada, yada, yada of the Lamar era. Generally, that was the point in the season where these guys would take off, right? I mean, say what you want about what would happen in January. They typically finished seasons with Lamar healthy. They finished seasons with the trajectory pointing upward, and that just did not happen. They lost four of their last six, and that was, those were the two games right after their five-game winning streak. So, but if you're Steve, if you're the organization, a day later, 2 days later, what do you want in a head coach? And I think it's fascinating from the standpoint of, all right, well, you have someone who's 63 and been in your building for 18 years. Do you want a first-time head coach? Do you want a young head coach? We know head coaches in general are trending younger and younger. I mean, look around at the playoff field as far as who you're going to see. Are there a couple exceptions? Yes, of course, Tomlin being one of them. But you see a lot of other guys that are in their mid to late 30s and early 40s. I
Well,
mean,
this
John
is
Har
where I would speak up for them to bring a grown up in there who did it and did it a different way.
Fair enough. That's an
That's where
argument.
I am. I would, and listen, this isn't an endorsement for Jim Schwartz, but it's an endorsement for Mike Vrabel, and it's an endorsement for people who do it better the second time around. And I saw Vance Joseph, they're bringing different people like that in. As and listen, I'm not anti-Anthony Weaver or someone of that age either,
Yeah.
because I see what D'Amico Ryans is doing.
Brian Billick won a Super Bowl in his second year. I
I mean,
mean,
look, you could go to Notre Dame right now. You could go to the college game, right?
sure.
So there's a lot of things you could do. But for me, and this isn't about, I keep saying Jim Schwartz or somebody like that. This is, for me, I need a 5-year coach because I'm an older owner at this point. I have a general manager that's like, pushing up on 60 now. I have a quarterback that will continue to debate how much tread is on him over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, as opposed to talking about the rear view mirror. If his wheels don't hold up or aren't what they are, or the offensive line, like there's a lot of football stuff with Lamar for me. He ain't going anywhere. He's a reality. He's a chess. He's the queen or the king on the board for the chess piece, right? Like he's probably the queen at this point because he moves everywhere. But not Derek Queen though. He's still playing on Monday night. I would just say, as I look at this, I need to marry Lamar now. Now, we're not, this isn't 2029 or 30, or when I get older, Eric gets older. If we have a couple of good drafts, you know what? Whoever the coach is, and it's more like this if they hire somebody fresh who feels in over their head instantly. And John drank from that a little bit early on. John didn't, it was a big job for John coming special team. It really was at that time. He would tell you that. He told me that.
Still very successful in the process, but go ahead.
Oh, no. But that's a credit to Steve. And I wrote all of the, anybody wants me kissing Steve's ass, just go read Purple Rain too. I wrote a book. I wrote chapters kissing Steve's ass and John's ass, about winning. So like it's all on the record and how they built it, because they were a lot more transparent then than they are now, all of them, including Eric. So knowing more about how they operate and how they think and why they think, so that people like you and me could answer for the fans, and we could go in there as astute journalists when they do give us an hour a year and ask them questions that aren't, what they're listening to on their iPod. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, finding a coach that's a now coach is the only thing I'm interested in. Because that's the thing the fans are interested in. Don't talk to me about an institutional next Hall of Fame. This Steve's made $6 billion on this thing. Steve wants to win. Fans want to win. Lamar wants to win. So bringing in that young coach who might be able to figure it out, and let the Browns do that, dude. Let somebody else do that.
See,
I'm not of that mindset.
I'll push back on that. Ben Johnson has the Bears, not just in the playoffs, but looking like a viable contender.
Well, if you
And
feel that conviction about it, go
that's
for
my thing. That's why, to me, you don't pigeonhole yourself and say that you need an experienced coach, because a lot of these experienced coaches are guys that are perceived to have warts. Now, that said, Bill Belichick failed in Cleveland, became the greatest of all time in New England. Andy Reid couldn't win the big one in Philadelphia, and has become one of the greatest of all time in Kansas City. Now, granted, they were connected to a quarterback, but that's why the Ravens have the most appealing job if you're looking at all these other candidates, that they do have a quarterback in place and they do have a very talented roster in place. Whether the roster was as great as we thought it was last July or not, it's still a good roster, right? They have work to do. There's no question about that. They have cap issues to figure out and things to work through and all of that. But every team has that. The difference between the Ravens, however, and the other jobs that are out there for the most part, maybe the Giants being an exception with Jackson Dart, or, if you are a big fan of Penix in Atlanta, and the Cousins contract is going to have to be figured out. Most of these teams stink. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking
Well,
about,
that's
most
what would make
hiring
the Bills'
cycles.
job
Sure, no
instantaneously a
doubt.
Harbaugh thing
But
on Monday is they have a quarterback too, right?
You don't want to pigeonhole yourself because of what I just said. I mean, you're talking, and look, that's your opinion, and I'm not saying there isn't validity to it, but the idea that if you only limit yourself to experienced coaches, you might be missing out on hiring the next great coach in the
I just
National
think there's going to be
Football
a
League.
whole different thing for a guy my age who's run a business and done things that I've done to sit in a room with somebody who's actually done it versus somebody who's aspiring to do it. And I'm just saying, like,
Sure.
that is just a foundational, and
But that's your
there is
opinion,
a
though.
point. Brian Billick hadn't done it. John Harbaugh hadn't done it.
And
They
that's
both
my
did it.
point.
Like
So,
you ain't never done it because you ain't. Well, that was the Smokey and the Bandit line. Because we ain't never done it. It ain't never been done because we ain't never done it. So I'll hear that 1,000,000%. I've said on whoever can whisper to Lamar, because that's what
And
matters now.
it might be a younger coach that connects with a
And you know what?
29-year-old
And
quarterback
I'll
better.
hear that, and I'll be
So, yeah, I
stunned
mean,
if
there's
they bring somebody
nuance.
like Anthony Weaver in here, who has a completely different emotional intelligence, a completely different mojo than John Harbaugh. Like, and would lead that way, and would just be a different kind of soul for the building. And great. I mean, I'll hear. Listen, I'm probably going to
Well,
get behind anything they do, and this is my respect for Steve Bisciotti, even though he doesn't have respect for me. My respect for him is this is what he's good at, identifying people. Like, yeah, that's what he's good at, or what he's always been good at. Doesn't mean he's dude, that's a talk about an inexact science, picking head
Oh,
coaches.
there's so much art to it. And that was kind of the next point I was going to make, where you look at this, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself. Now, yes, you want to drill down on some qualities and some factors that are more important to you than others, but do you want someone that's younger? Do you want someone that's more of a head coach experience? I'll throw a name out there that, look, anytime he had competent quarterback play at his old place, Kevin Stefanski looked like he could actually coach. What's not to say that, and it would be hilarious because you're talking about hiring the Browns coach. There'd be a certain perception of that from a fan standpoint, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I know 100% that he wouldn't kill it with Lamar Jackson and a better organization around him. I don't know. So yeah, I'm not rejecting your argument
You
and
just
your
made my
position.
argument. Thank you. I didn't
Sure.
even think of him as a
Sure.
candidate because you know what, dude? He's tarnished.
Exactly.
I mean, all of these guys are tarnished because they all had a 4-13 on their
Sure.
resume because they didn't have a quarterback. And if they
Right.
did, he stunk and hit, or things around him stunk. And the perception was that they stunk and they aspired to the top of their. Dude,
Or
I've been in an owner's meeting. Been in an owner's meeting when Schwartz took the job. And I was in a circle with Schwartz, Tomlin, somebody else, Jack Del Rio, maybe. And I'm literally in a conversation with them. And Tomlin said to me about his buddy that's about to get fired in Atlanta, or just did get fired, who took the Tampa job,
Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris. Raheem had just taken the Tampa job, I think. And he said, "You take any of these jobs." And Schwartz nodded his head. You take any,
Or
if
if
you can
this was
get him
going
a
further
seat.
back, that might have been him. That might have been him when he was in Tampa.
Right.
No, okay, sorry. I
That's what
just
I
want.
mean. Yeah, this was a
Okay,
long
yeah,
time ago.
I'm
This is when
trying to.
Schwartz was the Lions coach. I
Yeah,
mean, I'm
so
going
yeah,
back,
that
like
because he was in
literally,
Tampa like
I was in a
2010, something
conversation
like
at the
that.
owner's meetings out on the lawn. You've been to that party. You know what I'm
Yeah.
talking about. And I know these guys well. All of them were gathered. And we were just talking about Schwartz taking a gig that was 0-16, the worst gig ever. And like you get in that chair and you fight like hell and you hope that Matt Stafford can keep your job for 2 or 3 years, get you into the playoffs once, get you paid, get you another gig. And now Schwartz is untouchable somehow, right? Like he won a lot of games. I'm just saying, like, he won a Super Bowl since then, went to Philadelphia and won. Like,
Sure.
Schwartz is a way stronger candidate than what was the Browns record last year? 3-4, what, 4-, what was it?
Whatever it was,
What,
I think
right? So
four and 13, four
that's
and
his
yeah.
badge, and that's Stefanski's badge. And we're like, well, they're idiots. Give me Anthony Weaver. Give me some other failed coach. Give me the Notre Dame coach. Dude, you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than Jimmy Schwartz or Kevin Stefanski, and you could pitch either one of them to me right now, and I'd say, good on you, Steve Bisciotti. Good on you, because you came in, you talked to everybody. I'm gonna say whatever they come up with. Even if Chad Steele gets a vote, how about that? Even Sachi Brown, well, maybe not Sachi, but whoever's voting on it, when they come out of it, they're gonna have done a lot more praying and a lot more investing. And how about, I want to say this out loud too. This is really important because this has been important to every Mike Pettine, Rex Ryan, Marvin Lewis, Brian Billick, Mike Smith, Jack Del Rio, Mike Nolan. These are people in my life. These are, I'm not down the dial doing bartending here. These are people that have been in my home. Every one of them would talk about what's job pay? What's job pay? Because like, That's also a bone of contention because Anthony Weaver coaches for less money than John Harbaugh, or if they fire Mike Tomlin on Monday and bring Mike Tomlin in here, or whatever, right? Sean Payton went back to Denver and said, "You're making me top of market because I, you see my ring?" And they did. And last I checked, they're having a nice week. So there is something for experience matters. And whatever tarnish anybody wants to kick on, Marvin Lewis for losing in Cincinnati at the end, or Jim Schwartz because he coached the Browns, or Stefanski, or whatever the last drama was, that's fanboy talk more than it's, we're going to get in the building and who's going to lead my building and who's the most qualified to lead my building right now. And if you're Steve, it's not about money. I mean,
Yeah, that
that
part of
wouldn't
it.
be, but I'm telling you, in this space, it's if I take the Jets job, I'm only getting money for 3 years because they're going to fire me. And it stinks, and the job stinks. And that's one of the things with a Harbaugh. Don't discount him going to Miami and getting a piece of ownership because he and Stephen Ross know each other. Know each other, right? So there's a different thing when I just I've been at this a long time on that side of it and the backdoor side of it. Steve's going to pick who Steve loves, and I wrote that, and we're going to talk about how good this guy looks and all that. But Steve's going to hire who he can work with and who can work in his building. And I love talking about it. It's one of the fun topics ever is who's going to be the next person because it's like going into a candy shop, I think, Luke. I really
Yes,
do.
so we've covered the merit of someone who's younger without head coaching experience or someone who's had some head coaching experience. And it doesn't mean they're John Harbaugh's age, but someone who might be trending a little bit older in that way. I think the other interesting dynamic is, are you looking for someone who has a stronger slant of expertise on one side of the ball or the other? John was a CEO coach, right? And I don't say that to be disparaging. He was a special teams coach. Many very good coaches would tell you that a special teams coach has a perspective that's more of a global, universal perspective on your roster. That's why Bill Belichick thought highly of John Harbaugh once upon a time. So, not that you're going to go in that direction again. I'm of the thought that there's absolutely some merit to looking at the model in Kansas City right now. To looking at Sean McVay and the LA Rams right now, to looking at Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco right now, whoever's been their quarterback, and obviously it helps when it's Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford coming in, but we saw this first with Jimmy Garoppolo, and now we've seen it with Brock Purdy, that you have someone at the head coach position who is married directly to the quarterback in terms of weekly preparation and from a play calling standpoint. So, let's say you didn't bring in an offensive-minded head coach, and but you did bring in a heck of an offensive coordinator to go with him. If 2026 goes as well as you hope, and Lamar Jackson's back to playing at an MVP level, and let's say the Ravens at a minimum are back in the AFC Championship game, what's very possible that could happen? The offensive coordinator gets poached to become the head coach of the New York Jets or whoever. So, with that model in place, if there's someone in place, that's why I've mentioned Clint Kubiak, for
Well,
example.
I saw something, and I talked to John Martin from the Maryland Lottery about this because, like, wagering on who the next head coach will be, right? Like, I'm seeing lines out on Twitter. Somebody put Kevin O'Connell in at like 30-1 or something, like, as a long shot. And I'm thinking to myself, first off, I've met that guy. I've been in a room with that guy. I like that guy. I like that guy in a room full of coaches. I was in a room full of all coaches and said, if I had to pick one, I'd pick him. He hadn't had the quarterback, but you're talking about that sort of thing, right? He hasn't been as successful. People here don't know what the hell he's doing, even though we played him. But like that guy is what you're talking about, which is he's going to talk to the quarterback, and that's how you're going to win the game. You know,
And
there's something
he's
or.
calling your plays, and your play caller then is poach proof. You know, that someone can't come hire away your head coach who's calling the plays. Andy Reid's called the plays in Philadelphia, right? I mean, or not Philadelphia, he did, but in Kansas City. For all the talk of Bienemy or Matt Nagy, who, by the way, is talking to the Ravens, Yeah, we'll get to that because I have thoughts on that. That's another element to going through an extensive interview process. But the idea is if you have an offensive-minded head coach who is heavily involved on that side of the ball, they're then directly in lockstep with your franchise quarterback. And that's something where your franchise quarterback can take confidence in knowing that that guy's going to be there. If everyone does what they're supposed to do and they're successful, that guy's not going anywhere then. And yeah, you're still have an offensive coordinator, but it's secondary, right? Nagy has been the Chiefs offensive coordinator, is Bieniemy, but before that, right? But Andy Reid was still the one calling the plays and still the mastermind behind that. So you have that argument. On the flip side, this is a Ravens defense that very clearly has gone in the wrong direction since Mike McDonald left 2 years ago. The sheer fact that they're interviewing Anthony Weaver reminds of what happened 2 years ago. The brain drain. McDonald, Denard Wilson, Anthony Weaver all left to either become a head coach in McDonald's case or in the others becoming a defensive coordinator. So
By the way, I fly a flag for Anthony Weaver. I just want to throw that in case
that's
I
fine.
don't. If they hire Anthony Weaver, I should get my press credential back because he knows I'm a media member. But Anthony Weaver to me is qualified and sellable, but completely different mojo than
Sure.
Sean. You know, just
Sure.
completely different kind of human, different kind of human being.
But I would also say he's someone who has some, now he didn't work for John for 12 years, but he has some Harbaugh roots. I mean, that's,
He knows Lamar.
that's where,
Rode
someone like,
on planes with
sure.
Lamar. They have some sort of, maybe they played ping pong together. I don't know. But they know each other well enough that Lamar would say, I like Coach Weaver. I like Coach Anthony, Mr. Anthony, whatever he calls
Sure.
him, you know?
Yeah. Well, and Jesse Minter with the Chargers. I mean, he coached for John. He has, Mike McDonald worked closely with him, and he's working with Jim currently. So,
That would be an all in the family, Bisciotti.
right?
Bring
Do
him,
you?
you know, bring him young up, bring him through, bring him back.
So we're looking at this. We said older with experience or new first time kind of guy. We've talked about offensive or defensive. Do you want Harbaugh and or some Ravens ties? Or, and I think there's merit to this idea too, when you see what's happened, how utterly confusing at times their late game struggles and their late game collapses and their inability to break through in January has been. To me, there's merit to the argument of wanting a completely foreign perspective, an outside perspective to kind of look at this, the idea that everyone else that's been involved is too close to it, right? For someone else to come in and say, have you thought about this? Or what about this? Or have you guys done this? Right. And that's, I mentioned Matt Nagy in passing, and I had someone right away on Twitter, a fan just kind of basically groan about that one. And I get it. I mean, Chicago had them in the playoffs, but didn't have great success there. And so there's another element, and this is another reason why I think it's great to cast a wide net. This is a fact-finding and information-gathering opportunity as well. This is a chance to learn what others think about the game and the NFL in 2026 in general. And it's also a way to gather information about what others think about your organization.
Oh,
In
this
the
is
case,
one chance for Eric DaCosta to sit
you
and
can
ask
learn.
every question of
Yeah. And
all the brightest minds. And
right.
that's that I said to you on Tuesday night, the minute it happened, this is up Steve and Eric's alley.
No
Now,
doubt.
that being
So,
said, having to drop everything and including personal things, and I want to send my heart out to Lacey DaCosta's mom, who has always loved me, and I just want to send her some love because I know what's going on behind the scenes. And but Eric has to drop everything, Steve has to drop everything, Chad has to drop everything, Sasha, because they're going to sit with all these people and vibe it all out and like and hear and have it's theater, right? Like this is a theater for the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks with who's in the playoffs, who's out, who gets eliminated this weekend. Tomlin might be out Tuesday morning. McDermott might be out. There's still all of these moving chairs, and there's great football on the weekend. It's going to be sitting in front of us, which is going to stir the drama up. You know, there's 18 hours of football this weekend, right? Like in a general sense, This is a once. You hope you only do it every 18 years. I'm not saying you bring in somebody that's Dick Vermeil here. You know what I mean? I'm saying bring Marv back. You know what I mean? Like, not Levy, Lewis here. I'm not saying I need a 3-year coach because my owner's dying. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need a here and now, though. There's no tomorrow. There's just right now for this fan base watching on the outside. And certainly, I would think Lamar and everybody else, Roquan, the guys that are going to be back on the field next year, Kyle Hamilton, it's the most important thing in the world to them too, right?
Sure, but you want to hire the best. And that's why you don't want to pigeonhole yourself to the point where you say we must have a experienced former head coach. In the same way that it would be just as foolish to say we are absolutely hiring a young first-time head coach. But to go back to Nagy, just as an example, and this is what we were kind of talking about. Look, I don't know. I don't have intimate intel on the idea of whether they're actually truly interested in hiring Matt Nagy. Or is it a case of he's worked with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid for years now? He has worked for an organization that's won multiple Super Bowls. You have an opportunity to pick his brain and
What
maybe,
would you do with Lamar?
not just that, but also like, what have you guys found when you've played us? What's been holding us back? Right now. Again, it might be a preliminary Zoom call, or maybe he flies in and they have lunch at the building and they talk for 2 hours, and they might come away from that saying, that was interesting. We're not going to hire him, but hey, that was kind of interesting what he said, what he thought about how we approached our defense against Kansas City and why they were able to have success again. So you have opportunities to do that. Another factor, and we mentioned this, I alluded to this a couple different times, and the Orioles alluded to this a few different times in hiring Craig Albernaz. You also have an opportunity. This is a networking opportunity as well, in the sense that you might be talking to someone for a head coach gig that they ultimately might not be a finalist for, but you might say, you know what? I'd probably make a really good offensive coordinator for so and so if we hire that guy. Those two coached together 6 years ago, and I'm just making this up, with the Rams, or those guys were together 8 years ago at the University of Miami, right? I mean, like, there's always those types of things. And one thing that the Orioles talked about, not even just in passing, they flat out mentioned it, that various people that they talked to about their job and who to talk to, it kept coming up. Craig Albernaz, Craig Albernaz, Craig Albernaz. So there might be, and again, I'm just using Nagy as a thumbnail here. It's just an example of where, they might have a conversation with him that might spark some ideas of something they need to be doing with their football team. Or he might mention someone in passing where they say, hey, let's go talk to that guy. He's probably not going to be our head coach, but that guy might become our defensive coordinator. I
And
don't
then,
know.
by the
So.
way, Eric, and I keep saying this, DaCosta he's a genius, right? He's one of the smartest people I know. All along his watch as a scout, he's at every game and always has been. He was sitting 3 feet away from me for 20 years. I mean, mile high miracle game in Denver after the first overtime. We had a chatter. So he's always a part of all of this. So when Vance Joseph comes in and you look and you say, or when these are the guys that he admired the most over the years, I would think, in saying we always had to prepare for that guy. That guy beat our ass in Denver 1 year, or beat us at the Meadowlands one time, or whatever it is, that networking part of all of these combines, scouting trips, knowing guys when they were the secondary coach somewhere, and there's some, I mean, somebody last week to me, I had, oh, Joel Poyle was on with me talking this week to Tom Maddie, author, Pikesville guy, has worked in Tampa. We scrimmaged right after the firing happened, and he said, "You sure you want me on?" But he was around for the whole Dungy, Gruden, and all that. He's like, "Yeah, Mike Tomlin. We knew him when he was here as a secondary coach doing the Tampa too. There was no space for him here. He worked with Monty Kiffin and Lane Kiffin and Monty Kiffin. And I was watching Ole Miss and telling my wife about the Ole Miss thing the other night and the blue uniforms and like I'm like it." It's all intertwined over beers on those cold streets in Indianapolis or at a combine with a stopwatch over all of these years. And DaCosta is as wired as anybody. and has always had the admiration for this guy, that guy, that guy. Dude, if Mike Tomlin gets fired on Monday, they're going to bring him in here on Tuesday. Right? And I would think if Sean McDermott gets fired, they'd bring him in here on, next week too. They're going to talk to everybody, but I would think more than anything, Eric would look at that Rolodex in a way that, and I wrote this in Purple Rain too, that Ozzie didn't think about hiring a coach. Ozzie didn't really have a Rolodex because Brian was the coach. Like, just one thing Ozzie didn't have to worry about. And when Steve famously fired Brian without telling Ozzie, or literally went and said to Ozzie, "I'm going in to fire Brian." He said, "Please don't." And it stopped, don't. And apparently that happened this week too, or was reported as such, that Eric and some others were like, "Come on, don't do this.
Yeah,
We'll figure this out."
the overall, and this was even, I mean, this was probably 3 or 4 hours before it broke. Having, first of all, things are very tight there Monday into Tuesday, and that's understandable, right? I mean,
Everybody's been up all night too.
everyone was
So.
really disappointed and heartbroken and all that. But the sense I had gotten from talking to a couple people, just and not necessarily all that high up on the food chain, on the pecking order necessarily, but there was very much the expectation that John was going to be back. And but as we said all along, when you're having tough talks, and they needed tough talks, there's no doubt about that, whether they were going to keep John or not, tough discussions needed to be had. There's always the possibility that it goes in that direction. I mean, that's just inevitable. But my kind of my final point on just talking about the coach search here, because there's we'll have so much time to talk about. We'll get into the candidates more specifically as time goes on. The Here recently, as we're going into the weekend, they've talked to some Broncos assistants. Well, that makes sense. The Broncos have a first round bye, right? So you kind of look at the timing of this. You go back to 18 years ago. It was about a 3 week process from the time they fired Brian to hiring John. So I don't know if it's going to be 3 weeks per se, but I also don't think they're going to have a new head coach as we're coming out of wild card weekend, and on Tuesday they're on the verge of hiring someone the next day, right? I think they're going to take their time, as they should. But my final point with this, and it connects to everything we just talked about, young or old, offense or defense or CEO, someone who has Ravens or even Harbaugh ties or not, and a fresh perspective. As scientific as you want to make it, and one thing that in 2026 that exists that wouldn't have existed in 2008, I'm sure there's analytics, and there are predictive models where they're talking about, where they gather intel on play calling tendencies, and not that all these guys there are necessarily going to have extensive information on in that way, but there's all kinds of information out there. I mean, it's crazy the things that are tracked now, and you're looking for patterns and tendencies and things of that nature. So there's that. As much as you try to use all that stuff, and they will, and Eric loves that stuff, right? I mean, we've talked about Eric's, his input that led to the Orioles hiring Mike Elias and Sig Meidel. Now 8 years ago, 7 years ago. But there's still a lot of art at work with this. This is still a very artistic process that how many, I mean, you and I could sit here. It would take us a little while to really jog our memories, but you and I could come up with so many names over the last 2 decades of brilliant offensive coordinators or brilliant defensive coordinators. And because you said it, even though it doesn't really feel like you're going to see a whole lot of that in this hiring cycle, college coaches, right? So many who, on paper or from a media-driven standpoint, or just from a lot of interest from teams, you thought they were going to be the next great head coach. And then what happens? They absolutely flop. Now, in some cases, it's just like when you draft quarterbacks, if you don't have the infrastructure in place, that's why I mentioned Kevin Stefanski. I'm not saying he's like my top choice or anything, but to me, that's why there's some merit to at least talking to him, because anytime he had decent quarterback play in Cleveland, he looked like a decent coach, despite Jimmy Haslam and their front office and the dysfunction of that organization for going on 3 decades now. But I just, there is so much more to the job than being a great offensive mind or a great defensive mind. I mean, think about Brian Billick, who won a Super Bowl. His reputation coming to Baltimore was as an offensive genius. Brian, at no point in his tenure with the Ravens, did they ever have what you would consider to be a great offense? Very rarely did you point at it and say that he even had a good offense. Typically, it was, can it be solid? Can it be okay? Can you block for Jamal Lewis?
Well, they
Can
also
you
spent
throw to?
64% of their cap number on the defense
Of
too.
course,
So,
no. It's not a knock on Brian.
yeah.
It's an it's the idea that he was a successful head coach, but it wasn't primarily because he was this great offensive genius that he was perceived to be in Minnesota, right? In Minnesota, he had Hall of Fame wide receivers. And look, that's not to disparage Brian in the same way that I think it's nonsense when people try to disparage John by saying, well, he had to win that Super Bowl with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs. It's like, well, yeah, Bill Walsh wouldn't have won the Super Bowls without Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just sound dumb when you say stuff like that. Yeah, it is about the players. But the point being, there is an aptitude, there is a skill set, there is an interpersonal skill requirement that goes into being a head coach. That is why I'm not someone that's living and dying with every name that's thrown out there to say, oh yeah, that's the guy you absolutely have to hire. You made a point that you would be good with anyone they hire. I view it
Well,
through like,
Tuesday they're going to sell you on the process. They're going to tell
sure.
you that they're
But I would,
qualified to do this, and they
I
are.
would, yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I would also say I would look at it, and it might come across as more cynical. Anyone they hire, I'm going to be a little more inclined to say, we'll see. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
I gotcha.
like I said, we can all, I mean, I used this example a couple of days ago because I just remember it at the time because I was 16 and excited about where the Ravens were going and hiring a new head coach and all that. The two big names that were out there at that point in time, and I'm sure there were some others. I mean, it was 27 years ago at this point. Wow, it's a long time. But the idea was, Brian Billick was a hot name, but I think a lot of people in the fan base and across the NFL that year, they're really talking about Chris Palmer, from Jacksonville. Well, the Ravens didn't get Chris Palmer. They got Brian Billick. Brian Billick was 100 times better than what Chris Palmer, that hiring would have been, which didn't work out at all.
Keep in mind, the Modells were very damaged at the time, right?
Sure, no
I mean,
doubt.
Ed Ray Lewis.
They also didn't have any money at that point in time. I mean, this was pre-Steve coming on in terms of
I mean,
where they
Brian
were
took a leap of faith
financially.
taking the gig because the
No
San
doubt.
Diego gig had better weather, and there were several jobs. Chris Palmer, I went. This is all in Purple Rain One.
Sure.
They're all clickable. Go read the history of all of this. But so I've been. Say my first rodeo. It's not your wrap it because I want to come back talk some
Yeah.
more about the Steve Bisciotti's press
No
conference.
doubt. And I just use that as one example of how Chris Palmer was perceived as the OC and the quarterbacks coach in Jacksonville, with Brunell and the Jaguars being what they were. I mean, the Jaguars at that point were beating the Ravens' butts twice a year. I mean, that's kind of how it was the first 4 years of the franchise. But you see that, and then you see that they hired Brian, and Brian was held in high regard too. It's not like Brian was an unknown or anything. I mean, he's the OC for what had been an incredible offense in Minnesota in 1998. But the point is, as an outsider, without having a chance to get to know them, and you're just looking at their bodies of work, they looked like, Coke or Pepsi, right? That you couldn't go wrong with either guy based on just that. But we also know that there's way more art, there's way more that goes into it. So whether we're talking about someone who's been a head coach elsewhere, whether we're talking about an offensive coach that you can put in lockstep with Lamar as your head coach and do things that way, whether you're talking about another CEO type, whether you're talking about someone that has Ravens experience or Harbaugh's ties or not, all of those factors, it still comes down to, do you have the aptitude and the want to and the ability that you're going to be able to connect, not just with your quarterback, not just with the offense if you're an expert on offense and an offensive coordinator, not just with the defense if you're a former DC, but can you connect with your entire 53-man roster? Can you manage a coaching staff? Can you work with your general manager? Can you work with your owner, right? These are all factors that a lot of the names that they're going to talk to right now, we simply aren't going to know. I'll tell you, if I asked you who my favorite would be right now, and it's not, I don't have a ton of conviction. I'm kind of intrigued by Clint Kubiak. Pedigree of his father, has been around the NFL. OC, someone that I
Well,
think could work really well.
that's so up Pisciotti's alley, a ball coach, right? Light,
But
light, right?
that said, he's in his late 30s. I don't know if he's actually going to like ready to be a head coach. So for me to not, I'm not
If
sitting
they
in the,
hire him, they're convinced he is.
that would tell you, like Eric would say, he's gonna, we think he could be the next Sean McVay or the next Kyle Shanahan, you right? So,
And maybe that's what Eric
and they might do
aspires to.
that, right?
That's
And
not what I'm aspiring to. If
that's
I'm
fine.
Eric or if I'm Steve at this late point in the game with my $60 million quarterback, this isn't put Billick up on the billboards and sell credibility. This isn't Bisciotti getting his, his dream boy in Harbaugh, which he got in 2008. And by the way, I'm off break on this because we got a break, but Bisciotti didn't get his dream boy in 2008.
It's Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett was his dream
And
boy.
by the way, their pivot, their quote backup plan worked out great
Yeah, it
for a
did.
long time.
Worked out all right.
So again, it's another reminder that as much as you try to hit the home run, and I'll also say this is a word of caution, not for the Ravens specifically, but for anyone. There are a lot of head coach openings every year. It's
Well,
not
that's
easy to
just the
do.
point. Right
It's not
now,
easy to do.
dude, I looked at the eight logos up there, and I will break on this. And I said, Harbaugh ain't coaching, Arizona or Tennessee. You know,
Didn't think
he
so.
like right. So I. He's going to the Dolphins, and I'm going to go with
I
that. And
still
I got no insider on that, but if I did,
wouldn't count out the Giants, but if he winds up in Miami for the reasons you laid out, I'm certainly not going to be remotely surprised, but I wouldn't
I think
dismiss
you'll
the
know the
Giants.
devil he's getting there, and I think he will be paid top of class. And there, he will have the 5-year program as the veteran guy to be the coach who wants to lure the quarterback who wants to play for him in sunshine. And like, blah, blah, blah. Jets stink, right? You know what I mean? Bills are going to stink, or the perception is they have turmoil. Like, just fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, go to the Giants, you got to play the Eagles, you got to play. The one thing was always
Giants
weird
do have
with
a
him.
quarterback, though. They think. They think.
Well, maybe John doesn't think that. Who
He might
knows? If
not.
John doesn't think
Yeah.
that, then what difference?
And he
Then
won't. Yeah, then it
let's
doesn't
go with the
matter.
Michigan guy. I'll let it be. We'll come back. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We got lots and lots and lots on our mind here as we enter a new year. We're getting a new head coach, and Luke will be there to ask questions on Tuesday. I will not, at least as far as I know. There's still time to let me in to ask questions, Steve. There's a Dear Steve letter up at Baltimore Positive. I do hope you go read it. Back for more right after this.